You're listening to the USEA official podcast, which takes you behind the scenes of eventing, covering all the big events, professional tips and tricks, interviews, special guests, and the latest USEA eventing news. Welcome to the USEA official podcast, episode 301. Listeners, 301, I hope you enjoyed our greatest hit show last time out. It was lovely looking back on some of our favourite moments after the last 10 years. Incredible that the podcast has been going that long. But we are all systems go now for 2022. And to kick things off, we are going to be talking more about the brand new USEA Eventing Handbook by The Levels, which has been 2 years in the making. It is the most extraordinary piece of work. And to tell us a little bit more about it, Jennifer Russo, Chair of the Handbook Writing Committee. Jennifer, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Nicole.
It is our absolute pleasure. Also joining us, the legendary coach, rider, David O'Connor, who was a member of the ICP committee. He's a certified advisor as well. David, happy new year.
Thank you. It's amazing, actually, 301 podcasts. That's actually a pretty amazing number. Well, at least we're first in 2002. That's good. We're number one.
That's what we like. Number 301. I think that's a good, solid number. Good number. Okay, let's talk a little bit more about this because it is the most amazing piece of work. It has been developed over the last 2 years, full of materials, resources. It is for all levels of eventing professionals, instructors, coaches. Where do we start? First of all, what inspired Jennifer, the committee, to create this brand new USEA Eventing Handbook by The Levels?
Well, I think, you know, so much of the discussion over the past few years on several different levels has been about safety of horse and rider. And we as a body of instructors were looking at ways we could contribute to making the sport safer for everybody. And one of those ways was by perhaps breaking down what skills and what abilities were necessary for each level of competition to help. We were really thinking about it on an instructor level to start with. What do teachers need to teach in order to safely progress their students from one level to the next? And that sort of sparked an idea about talking about what was required at each level for riders. And we had had a group within the USA take a stab at it, not really at that exact problem, but sort of had started building a matrix. A gentleman by the name of Dan Michaels had started building a matrix, which was a visual graphic for how one would progress from one level to the next in terms of skill ability. And that sort of gelled the thinking towards actually creating a guide for progressing riders from one level to the next. And I thought, here we have this ICP committee, which has an incredibly resourceful faculty piece to it, David, a member of, and then also a large committee, all instructors in their own right, good instructors, all certified instructors, that's a body of people who could really put together something, as you said, extraordinary. And so away we went.
Away you went. I mean, it is just an incredible amount of information. And I suppose it's one of those things, as you say, as soon as you start digging, actually, you uncover more and more. There is so much knowledge and depth of knowledge within the committee that being able to share that is massively, massively valuable. It's hugely important. It's a real asset to our sport moving forwards. And ultimately, as you say, all about safety. We want to make the sport as safe as we possibly can do. David, you're a massively passionate coach, and it talks a lot about foundations of training. How important is it for us to continue to ask the question of our coaches, to educate them, and to help grow standards across the board?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's unbelievably important for coaches to, you know, take on the responsibility of making sure that they are, you know, giving information to their clients, you know, whether they're children or adults or whatever, that is, you know, based on the fundamentals that have been, you know, put around in some aspects for hundreds of years, and for some aspects quite modern. If you look at the other sports, you know, here in the States, a baseball, football, soccer, all of those type of things are, you know, they're school sports. And because they're school sports, there's quite a lot of funding in the coaching system behind them. And all of the coaches have to be certified in teaching those sports as they're going on. Now, in eventing, obviously, we don't have that type of school system. We're not a school-based sport. We're more of a club system, you know, private clubs or even parts around the world that are, you know, public clubs. But since we don't have that, we don't have that structure behind us about, you know, educating instructors. And there's two sides of it. Is one, how to teach, not just what to teach. The how to teach is really, really important. How do people learn and how do you get across ideas? Because a lot of our, as we know, a lot of our really, really good athletes are actually not very good teachers, even though they're tremendous athletes. And that doesn't guarantee that you're a good teacher. And so there's one aspect of it is how to teach. And the second aspect is then what do you teach? And is it enough just off of your personal experience to get that across, which is important? Yes. But there's so much material out there that has been developed over such a long time about horsemanship and horses that has all really been distilled over this time into thought processes that really work. And should you discipline yourself really to make sure that you're going along those lines in a step-by-step process and a progressive process that are bringing adult amateurs or kids or even professionals along to the next level. And those outside views, I think, are really important. So I do believe that it's a hugely important for people to take on the responsibility to make sure that they are doing the utmost that they can do. And every other sport and most other industries all require that. And we're not going to really make it mandatory. I don't know how you would without, you know, some type of government influence. And I don't think we want to go down that road. But to challenge people intellectually that this is good material, it will help you teach. It will. There is no question going through this system. It will help you in your job to do your job better. And I think it's really important for people to take on that task.
I think you've actually hit my next question right on the head there, because it's this accountability, isn't it? In so much as it's all kind of going, okay, let's look at this and really strip it back and understand what it is as a coach, where they currently are and what they're looking for and their aims and their philosophy. We can all get caught up in day-to-day life. Everybody's very busy. It helps kind of helps you look at yourself and go, okay, how can I improve and get better as a coach? And then as a rider, I think it's fascinating because, you know, lots of people will say, okay, I want to step up to maybe training level or beginner novice level at the end of the year. And this actually breaks it down and says, okay, this is what you need to be doing to be able to do that. So it really strips it back and gives so much education and clarity over just going, I need to be jumping X height cross country, that kind of thing. And there's a brilliant quote in here, which I think, David, you'll appreciate with me as well, which is the slow way is the fast way.
Yeah, I was always taught that right from the beginning. The slower you go, the faster you get there. So when you look at the, you know, at your audience of who this is for, you know, it changes it. I think Jennifer's and her group has done such a great job about making it readable in a format that not only for instructors, but for riders and also, you know, parents for kids can look at this and say, hey, this is what my child is supposed to be doing. And, you know, be able to talk to an instructor coach about that. And so I think the audience becomes wider in a document like this.
I think that's a really good point. Jennifer, I know that when you put the document together, there was a lot of research from the ICP faculty, from the whole committee. And I guess the key points that are included, level of preparedness for the current level that they're at, what they're looking to work on for the next level, where weakness originates. And that's kind of encouraging people to look back at those previous levels. and then how to choose effective instruction and coaching, which aligns with the principles and concepts of the handbook. From a rider, a parent point of view, those are really valuable things to help you find the right instructor to help you move up the levels safely as well.
Yeah, I think to David's point about the lack of mandatory certification in our country, which is probably going to be a continuing circumstance for many years, this provides a little bit of industry accountability, self-policing, because now riders can look at what it is they need to do or what it is they haven't learned how to do, and it helps them choose effective instruction. It helps, as David mentioned, parents be able to have a dialogue with an instructor about what they are, what their child is learning, and I think it will help therefore instructors hold themselves more accountable to providing the best and fullest amount of information possible to their students at every level. And so, when I polled, I basically polled everybody on the committee and the faculty on every level, on every point, and really wanted to get to their, what I call the non-negotiables, which was the absolutely had to happen at each level prior to moving on to the next level. And so I hope that's really what we've captured in this document. I believe we have captured it pretty well in this document. And that was a little bit like herding cats at first, but but I have to say, when we got down to the true non-negotiables, like what really was important to our large committee and our large faculty, it's like 16 or 18 people altogether. There was consensus. There was clear consensus about what had to happen at every level. And so that for me was enriching and I would say encouraging. And I think that this will provide or at least spark the initiation of a true system of teaching eventing in North America.
I think the value that it will bring and has the potential to grow and bring increasing over the years is just huge. And it's a really important point to note that actually, you know, the committee, 16 to 18 people have all had their input, but this has gone through vetting by other committees, other branches at the USEA and the USEF. There's been licensed officials, safety staff, professional riders, emerging athletes, the membership, you know, everybody has had the chance have their say and to look at this and input into it. And therefore, it isn't just the amount of knowledge that's gone into it is just huge. And the value that it will bring it is massive going forward. How does it affect the ICP, so the instructor certification program?
So, as you know, we are realigning our certification levels with the competition level. So we're changing a little bit the way the certification levels align with the competition levels. And so our level one instructor will now be a starter through novice instructor. A level two instructor will be a training modified one-star instructor. Level three is preliminary two-star. Level four is intermediate three-star. And level five is advanced four and five star. And I think that when we align our certification levels with competition levels, then we have to also be saying to instructors, and here's what your riders need to know for those competition levels for which you have been certified at. So it's not that the material is going to change drastically. In the certification program, you know, we have been teaching instructors to deliver this material pretty, you know, across the board this way, or at least the same material, but maybe with not such a strong look at how it falls into the different competition levels. And that was one of the other inspirations for me, since I actually have a program which runs across different levels, was that for my business model, this is a document that makes super sense. And for a lot of eventing instructors now, they'll have riders that are starting, that they're at the entry level to the sport at starter level, and they'll have that rider for many years as they progress them up the levels. And that's a little bit of a shift from when I was learning to ride or learning to event. When I was learning to event, I basically just got a lesson where I could, more or less, you know, but I would ship in to somebody. And now we see more people that are, you know, attached to a coach, and they're attached to the coach for the long term. And I think this idea of dividing the material up in by competition levels really complements the modern business model.
I think that's an excellent point. It keeps things simple as well, doesn't it? It stops overcomplicating it. You know, life and the sport can be complicated enough. So the more transparent we can make it, it opens it up to everybody to understand it clearly. I know it is going to launch at the upcoming USCA ICP symposium, which is being held this year in Ocala, Florida, February 8th and 9th, I believe, listeners. I'm sure a few of you will be going. I believe tickets are still available. If you would like to get involved, just go to the US Eventing website and you'll find all of the details there. But what can we expect to see there, David, this year? Because I understand it's a bit of a new feel.
Yeah, we've really talked about changing the process at it. And again, you know, structuring a little bit along these lines of how to teach and not just what to teach. It is going to be way more of a dynamic process. So be way more interactive with the participants there and groups and conversations back and forth about where, what direction you would go in of teaching techniques, of ideas, of cross-country, a little bit cross-country design, exercises that you would go through. So instead of really having somebody talk at you and, you know, kind of the PowerPoint tour, that type of thought process of this is going to be way more interactive between the two. So fun enough, I'm really excited about it because I think it's going to be a very dynamic week as we go back and forth and really talk about, all right, what would you do in this situation? Where would you go? All right, this is what you're presented with. Maybe it's a good situation. Maybe it's not. Where would you go? What would you do? And have that conversation back and forth. And have that conversation back and forth about some of the pitfalls that you could fall into and some of the inspirational things that you could do. So I think the change of that is going to be real beneficial and real, I don't know, kind of exciting. I think, like I said, I think the word that I keep coming up with is dynamic. It's going to be very much more of a dynamic side to the whole equation back and forth. So I'm excited about doing it this way.
It's going to be great. Now, actually, yes, it is geared up towards eventing professionals as such, but anybody can attend. And that's a really important point
Absolutely.
To note. You know, it is open. Just go to the website. You know, don't feel you have to be somebody to go because it is something for everybody. Just to name drop a little, if I might, this year's clinicians will include the likes of Phyllis Dawson, Jim Graham, David and Karen O'Connor, Mark Phillips. The list goes on. There's going to be additional ones in there as well. And there is so much to learn from that symposium. So take a look at it. And I believe as well that if listeners, you do get your entry in early, you might actually get a sneak peek access to this brand new handbook as well. Jennifer, let me ask you, obviously, it's been a huge undertaking, 2 years. I imagine a lot of blood, sweat and tears has gone into this incredible end document. What has been the key message for you? What is the driving force that's sort of been your aim throughout?
I mean, on so many levels, I've been blessed actually by participating in the development of this project, mostly with optimism for the future of the sport, because I can see every time we present to a committee, to a group, we presented to the Professional Riders, Eventing Riders Association, and the safety group. Every time we present, the feedback has been incredibly positive. And so what I see developing is not only that we are going to, you know, make an effort to elevate the quality of instruction, but that we're starting to unify as a group behind this idea of systematic, progressive, incremental training of horses and riders. And I think that will probably be it's the unification of all the different parts of our sport and organization behind this concept that I find to have been the most uplifting.
And David, how about for you? You've obviously been involved in the sport as a rider, a coach. You've been involved in this committee, many other hats as well. What is it for you that you would like to say, okay, 3-4 years time, you're looking back, what would you like to have seen change and improve?
As I said, I think the information has to get out there. I think the information has to be into a place that is available to everybody. And so everybody can start to take that personal responsibility about what they're either doing themselves as a coach or doing themselves as a rider. And this information is out there. It's been out there. This is in a great form, I think. And I think to have everybody really start to, as Jennifer said, about come together, but be, you know, consistent in their availability of what they teach and how they do things. Because I think people a lot of times make it more complicated than it is. I think, you know, obviously I'm a huge, huge believer in fundamentals, and the fundamentals of progressing through the levels is so very, very important. And again, looking at other sports and professional sports, everybody talks about in top level competitors is that the higher that they go, the more that they work on fundamentals. And I think it's really, really important to keep going back to that. And I think Mark Twain was the one that said it's really easy to learn the tricks of the trade and not learn the trade. And I think it's really important that this is actually a trade document. This is what you need to learn in order to be successful and have fun, be safe and challenging in this sport as you progress up the levels.
David, that is a line. It is really easy to learn the tricks of the trade without learning the trade. I love that. That is brilliant. Okay, so this is the USA Eventing Handbook.
It's not original.
It is so good. Oh, no. Well, don't worry. I'm suitably impressed. I think that's great. This is the handbook that is available. Is it available now? Is it available shortly? Jennifer, how do we get our hands on the ultimate read for 2022?
So your first opportunity will be to attend the symposium in Ocala on February 8th and 9th, which is for all instructors, certified instructors, non-certified instructors, all riders, parents, licensed officials, whoever would like to attend. That would be your first opportunity to receive a link to the handbook. But shortly after that symposium, we will be finalizing the method of distribution to our membership. So stay tuned. It's coming.
Is it a free product? Will people have to pay for it? How does that work?
I think we would like to provide it to our members without cost, if that's possible.
That honestly is the most absolutely incredible piece of work that has been this few years in the making. This is your chance to actually get a real inside sight into some of the best minds in the sport. And ultimately, everybody is working towards the same goal to make the sport safer. Look, Jennifer, David, thank you both so, so much. We're really looking forward to seeing more about it. We're looking forward to that ICP symposium as well. David, I know I said you were going to be there as one of the clinicians. That is, listeners, Ocala, Florida, February 8th and 9th. Anybody is welcome to attend, whatever your involvement in the sport. Jennifer, David, thank you both so much. What a brilliant way to kick off our episodes well into the 300s.
Thank you for having me, Nicole. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for having us.
It is absolutely our pleasure. Listeners, we hope that you've found this really, really insightful. Keep your eyes peeled for that USEA Eventing level. Even dogs getting excited about it. That is what we like. Enthusiasm across the board. And listeners, we will be back very soon with more. We've got lots coming your way. And I believe our next show, actually, is our competition winner, interviewing their rider of choice. Who will it be? ... Watch this space. We'll be back very soon with more. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the USEA official podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback, then we would love to hear from you. Get in touch through any of our social media platforms at US Eventing, and don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode.